Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Sudden illness, a tragic death, a natural disaster, a job loss. Everyone who faces calamity asks why. The eye of faith looks forward to a future reckoning of all accounts, a time when the why questions get answers. To find out more about that coming time, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we begin the final message in our series, What is God Up To? Erwin Lutzer has a heavenly vantage point as he takes a look back at planet Earth.
I've entitled the message today, Looking Back on Planet Earth. Because someday when we're in heaven, we'll be able to look back upon this Earth and understand more fully than we understand today what God was up to through 10,000 years of history. I think that once we are in heaven, if we can see planet Earth from heaven, and I assume we'll be able to, we'll be impressed, first of all, with the tiny size of this planet in comparison to the vastness of the solar system and the stellar universe. And we will again be amazed that God should choose this small planet to be the one, to be that stage upon which good and evil and justice and injustice is played out. And we will be overwhelmed by the fact that we had a small part in that drama. Then I think, secondly, we'll be impressed also with the shortness of time. You know, 8,000 years, 10,000 years seems to be a long time, and if you live 80 years, it can seem to be a long time. But once we're into eternity, we will be overwhelmed with the shortness of time in comparison to an eternity that has no end. And we will be swept up in the incredible grandeur of eternity. But I suppose that when we're there in heaven, one of the things we're going to do is to finally get a chance to ask God the question that plagues the minds of anybody who's ever done any thinking at all, and that is the question, why? Why all the suffering on planet Earth? Why all the grief? Why all the earthquakes? Why all the tragedies? Why all the heartaches? Why all the broken families? Oh, God, what were you up to? Before I try to answer that question, let me just take a moment to walk with you through the pages of history. Remember, after Adam and Eve were created, then generations began to come about, and those generations turned away from the Lord, and in turning from God, they began to serve pagan idols. And the whole world was so corrupt with its immorality and its cruelty that God says, I'm going to start over. All that he had left was Noah and his family. And so a flood came on the earth. We read that too quickly in the pages of the Bible. Have you ever thought of what a universal flood would mean? Here are families being swept away as the rain begins to pour, and they go to higher ground, and finally little children see their mommies and daddies being taken away by the fast, thoughtless, harsh current. And they're gone, and the children are crying, and they're weeping, and they're shrieking, and they're crying out to God. And the rain doesn't stop until every single human being is drowned. God starts over. But you read about Noah, and soon you find that he also was involved, he and his ancestors involved in turning away from God. So you have the whole Babylonian Empire that begins with its occultism. And remember that whenever you have occultism, you always have cruelty. That's why as the United States swings toward the occultism of the New Age movement, cruelty, barbarianism will always increase. And so during that period of time, you have many wars. You have one nation conquering another nation. You have brutality on a scale that you and I have never seen. And generation goes after generation, and the knowledge of the true God is practically non-existent upon the earth. God decides to choose Abraham. And Abraham becomes the father, of course, of the Jewish nation. And you know that through the life of Abraham, God began that nation. But when you stop to think of it, Israel was a small nation in comparison to all the other nations of the earth, for one thing. And even within the nation Israel, there were relatively few who really knew the living and the true God. Most of the people ended up just going through the formality. They were not necessarily God's people in their hearts at all. And then after Jesus Christ comes to earth, when he's here, how many people really do believe on him? Yes, a few hundred. Yes, a few thousand. But what about the nations that were developing, such as China? Years ago, my family and I were in China, and we stood upon the wall of China and were told that much of the wall had been built 200 years before the time of Christ. Whole civilizations that do not know anything about the Savior and never find out, as year after year goes on end and one generation comes and another generation goes. Oh, I know it's true that through the church, Europe became Christianized. But I think of those 300 years of persecution. When people were taken and they were thrown to the lions and they were killed in so many barbaric ways, and many of God's choicest people cried up to the Lord and said, God, where are you? Deliver us. The heavens were as silent as brass. Things happened during those days that would be enough to bring tears to a rock, and God didn't intervene. And after that period of time, of course, the church begins to collapse into traditions, as church and state are unfortunately united, and the true knowledge of God is again almost extinguished, apart from a few groups. And then you have the Reformation, where people began to go back to the Bible again. But then you think of subsequent generations, and you think of the heartache and the grief. The Soviet Union, where my wife and I were 2.5 years ago, 25 million people killed by Stalin, 7 million farmers in the Ukraine systematically starved to death, if you please. And then another 25 million people killed in the Second World War, and those two events were going on almost simultaneously. Can you imagine the heartache of the earth? And then we haven't mentioned China, where the United States Congress said that Chairman Mao killed 60 million of his own people in that revolution that ended up with the triumph of communism in China. And what can we say about North Korea and Eastern Europe? And you look at the history of the world, and how do you characterize it? Nothing really, except human suffering and heartache. I used to always say that 20,000 children starve every day, and then I get Christianity Today, a recent article says 50,000 starve every single day. What can we say about the United States of America, this great country in which you and I live? We can see things going downhill. We talk about the fragmentation of the family, the heartache, the kind of immorality that is so destructive, and we can see that the influence of God is being stamped out. And we're headed for a new wave of persecution. Did you see yesterday this article where it talked about the university campuses of the United States? Do you know that the Trib says that one out of every four girls attending our universities are involved in what is called date rape? I read that yesterday and I was angry. Makes you mad. You can't even think about it. What kind of a society, what kind of cruelty and barbarism are we really rearing in the United States anyway? God, what is it that you're doing? What is the plan anyway? And when we get to heaven, we're going to ask him that question. And today, we're going to find out as much as possible before we get to heaven what in the world God was up to. Aren't you glad you came? You know, there was a poem that was written that I think says it all. God's plan made a hopeful beginning, but man spoiled his chances by sinning. We hope that the story will end for God's glory, but at present, the other side's winning. You know that philosophers for years have said that there are three propositions that you as Christians, speaking about us as Christians, we believe, but we are believing a contradiction. And the three propositions that we are told cannot logically exist together are, first of all, that God is good, God is omnipotent, that is all-powerful, and evil exists. Because the argument is this, that if you have a God who is good and all-powerful, he will exterminate the evil. Therefore, we are told that we as Christians believe a contradiction. Now, if you deny any one of those three propositions, the contradiction does not exist. William James, who had a great deal to say about American education, believed that God was finite. William James believed that God was doing the best he could to exterminate evil, but he wasn't all-powerful, so he can't pull it off, and William James said we ought to help him. Well, if you have that kind of a finite God, then you've resolved the contradiction. You look at the mess that is in the world, and all that you can say is, well, this is the best that God can do. What are you going to do with a God who isn't all-powerful? But that's not the God of Christianity. The God of Christianity, the God of the Bible, is a God who can speak, and it's there. Our God is in the heavens, the Bible says. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. Nothing's out of control with the God of the Bible. How do we put it together? There's only one way that we can possibly solve the dilemma of those three statements. And that is to say that God is using the evil and the suffering of this world to produce a greater good. A greater good. And what could that good be? Could it be a good that is related to mankind? Is he doing something that's good for man? Not necessarily. When it comes to Christians, certainly God is doing something that is good for us, and we know that he uses suffering for our good. But there are many people in the world who do not know Christ as Savior, for whom the suffering of this world will never, ever turn out for their good. Jesus said about Judas, it is good for that man. It would have been good for that man if he'd never been born. How much better it would have been for Judas to not have seen the light of day than to have stood next to Jesus Christ and looking at Jesus, the way to heaven, deliberately choose the way to hell. And nothing that Judas will ever do, nothing that will ever transpire in the universe will make all that suffering good for Judas. And millions like him who do not trust Christ. So what is God up to? Well, what I'd like to do is to, since we entitled the message, Looking from Planet Earth or Back to Planet Earth, the only thing that we can really do is to take our Bibles and to look at the book of Revelation, where I want to point out the superiority of God. And that God is using the evil in this world to display himself, to put himself on display.
My friend, I want to thank you so much for listening to Running to Win, because what I have just shared are some very difficult truths, but I do believe that they are biblical, and what you and I need to do is to bow before the Lord. And we've written a devotional. Actually, it has contributions from D.L. Moody and from myself. To enable you to do just that, even as we anticipate the new year, and grateful to God for this opportunity to share with you. The title of the new devotional is Running to Win, 365 Daily Devotions, so that you can walk with God every day.
Erwin Lutzer has begun teaching us about a look back at planet Earth, the last message in his series, What is God Up To?, which explores God's purposes for his creation. We'd like you to have a brand new daily devotional in time for the new year. It's called simply Running to Win and has one verse per day with comments from both Pastor Lutzer as well as D.L. Moody. It's yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. 215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.